Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rodgers in the shotgun, Hall to his right on third and 16. Back to pass. Rodgers looking to load up. Fires deep. Rainbow down the field looking for Mike Williams, and it's intercepted. Taron Johnson, welcome back. A humongous interception by the nickel corner.
Yeah. Bills radio. Wow, the Bills held on to win what was maybe one of the uglier games we've seen. 30 total penalties were called in this game. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. That was definitely one of the main stories. The other is that Aaron Rodgers, who Perloff I thought was really good throughout the game, but this is the moment where you need Rodgers. You get the ball back. You are only trailing by 3 points because nobody could score in the second half because the Bills were anemic and getting penalty calls all over the place. The Jets were also getting penalty calls, and their kicker doinked two different field goals. This is craziness, craziness. So nobody could score in the second half. So you give the ball to Aaron Rodgers. He gets the ball. You're down 23-20 with plenty of time left on the clock, about 3.5 minutes left to go. Perloff, you've got to win the game. He's got to win that game.
Ooh, I disagree with that completely. Because you can't take any meaning away from last night's game because the officials took over everything.
Well, you're right about
you
that.
Can't, you can't. Honestly, how do you blame Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers was awesome. He's got a bunch of things to deal with. He's got officials gone wild.
Yeah.
He's got Mike Williams should not be on the field.
He has not been
so
good.
He's really got one. He's got two receivers, Lazard and Garrett Wilson, and he, for some reason, went to Mike Williams second week in a row where the game has ended on an interception where he's targeting Mike Williams. Also, I think there were so many problems to come. Even in that situation, there was so much else going on in that game. The coaching change destroyed the Jets, ironically. Like, they felt like Jeff Ulbrich he was supposed to be the head coach and the defensive coordinator, and it felt like those guys were out there on their own. I just think, like, to put that on Rodgers doesn't feel right to me.
Well, I'm not putting it all on Rodgers because you're right, there is a lot there, but if I'm just going to distill this down to one thing, is the game was ugly. The penalties were awful on both sides. Nobody was happy about what was going on with the officials last night. Everybody was ticked off. That's how you know it's really, really bad. Richard Sherman is weighing in on social media. I'm not biased, but this is terrible. Aaron Rodgers complaining about it after the game. It was as bad as you can imagine, this penalty fest. But if you want to distill it down to one thing, which I know is hard in a football game that had this much going on, Aaron Rodgers, the future Hall of Famer, maybe one of the greatest to ever do it, gets the ball at home with plenty of time, plenty of timeouts, your full complement of weapons. Breece Hall's having a fantastic game. You know, Braylon Allen should have had a touchdown that gets called back for a holding call that was pretty suspect. I know you hate those holding calls at the goal line when the guy's basically already in the end zone, and then they call holding. But if you do want to distill it down to one thing, your Hall of Famer had the ball with plenty of time, and he threw a pick.
I mean, if you're going to still last night's game to one thing, what is that game going to be remembered for?
Penalties.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing was the officials.
Yeah, but
there's no second thing to me. Like, honestly, like, I thought Rodgers was great last night. I thought Josh Allen was fantastic last night. But, and also, I do think they have a major problem with Mike Williams. Like, they need to get rid of him. They need to get rid of their kicker for sure.
Well, maybe Davante Adams would be the right move.
That'd be great.
You know?
That'd be great. I do think you cut Greg Zuerlein today. Like, I think that's important. I don't think they'll do it necessarily.
He's the kicker. I mean, Listen, the wind was terrible. It's MetLife Stadium, notorious for wind.
I'm not sure the wind affected both those kicks. He's been super shaky this year.
So he missed a 32-yarder and a 43-yarder. Yeah. These were not, you know, 50-yarders. But again, he doinked both of them.
No, he's got the yips. It's very clear.
And so does the Bills kicker, to be frank. I mean, this was not a clinic for kicking at all. Missed an extra point, missed a field goal of 47 yards. I mean, this is like, you know, shades of Bills Chiefs in the divisional round.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game got out of control because of the pass interference that went out of bounds, the two roughing calls. Like, I get
one on each quarterback.
Honestly, if Rodgers plays like that, like, the Jets are going to win games. He was seeing the field well. He got rid of the ball fast. I think the Bills' defense is not great, so that helped him. But honestly, Rodgers' last drive, it was pretty close. If Mike Williams didn't lose his footing, maybe he makes a play there. Probably gets interfered with. That I understand that he had Aaron Rodgers had Breece Hall for a short gain to his right. Probably made the wrong decision. But I'm not going to kill him for that last drive. I'm going to kill him. The Bills got the ball back in a must-run situation, and the Jets looked like they had no idea what was going on, as usual. Their defense was out to lunch all game long. I didn't understand. The game started out. The Bills were basically, the Bills have no receivers, let's be honest. And the Jets were treating them like they were the 2019 Chiefs. They're like, oh my God, we cannot let Keon Coleman, the rookie, get over the top. So there were these giant running lanes. I don't understand what the Jets were doing from get-go, but Rodgers, I thought, played great. And even though he came up short on that last drive, I'm not putting that on him. There's so many other factors.
Yeah, there were. And you're talking about, so after Rodgers throws the interception, that's when the Bills get the ball back, and they need a first down to salt the game away, even though the Jets still had a timeout. They had one timeout, I believe. But they needed the first down, and everyone knows they're going to run. And the Bills especially have to run, considering last week they botched one of these very similar situational moments where they were backed up in their own end zone.
I forgot that.
And they threw the ball three times and ended up giving the ball back to the Texans. So you'd hope that the coaching staff would have learned. Of course they're going to run the ball. And for some reason, the defense played like it was pass, and Ray Davis got like 6 yards on first down.
First contact was 5 yards after. Let me ask you one more question.
Yeah.
What is the one thing, the Jets are missing a few things, but what's the one glaring weakness what's the one thing, you're a Bills fan, Josh Allen was awfully comfortable. It's almost like the Jets could use a pass rusher. Like, they should have traded for one in the offseason.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did. And then they botched this whole thing with Hassan Reddick not being on the field.
If Hassan Reddick is there last night, then Josh Allen can't do whatever he wants all night long. It is amazing. The Jets' incompetence is so much deeper than just any certain play. Like, it goes down deep into their organizational structure.
The Bills were incompetent, too. I actually credit the Bills' defense. I thought, you know, they got a couple starters back, and Taylor Rapp was really big, and Taron Johnson comes up with the game-sealing interception. But I thought, I mean, the pre-snap penalties for the Bills, Deion Dawkins getting into it with Quinnen Williams, where he gets a fit. They had 4 personal fouls called in this game of 15 yards, and most of them were dumb. So a lot of discipline on either side.
I hear you. One was pure fiction. The body
Spencer
way.
Brown's one? The passer.
When they roughed the passer. One, that you could say 4 personal fouls. One was an absolute joke.
Yeah.
So that didn't. Yeah, no, the Bills also were the victim of some bad calls as well. It went both ways. I think the Jets probably took the brunt of it because of the pass interference calls. But anyway, I disagree with you on that. It's like, the Bills were not perfect, but the Jets are so messy it overwhelms the Bills storyline. Bills are gonna win this division.
Well, I mean, listen, they're 4-2, so they have a 2-game lead in the division, and now they have 1 head to head. But again, I wouldn't rule out them splitting. These two teams play 10 times.
Yeah.
Are you sure? It probably is 5-5. I mean, the Jets should have won this game. As
bad
as they were.
Definitely should.
As sloppy, weird as it was that the defense took a step back when, like, you fire your head coach who's the defensive guy, And I think Jeff Ulbrich could actually be a better head coach, and nobody's going to be worse than Saleh. But the defense did look a little bit worse. The offense looked better.
Yeah.
But Saleh was going to get rid of Nathaniel Hackett anyway, and he was going to put Dodd Downing in. So that wasn't like a Jeff Ulbrich. That wasn't the new head coach who did that. Saleh was going to do it.
And also, you keep talking about the Bills' defense being vulnerable. I think that helped too. Like the Bills
definitely are.
There were a couple times
they did a better job. You have to understand the Bills run the bend don't break to a comical extent.
Yeah.
They will let you do anything between the 40s. Right. You could be doing the Macarena out there. It doesn't matter.
Right. And you told me yesterday that the Jets were definitely going to get their run game going, which had been one of the worst in the league coming into last night's game.
By the way, Breece Hall, I know we're jumping around to all the biggest points of the game last night, just reacting because we're all fired up. But Breece Hall, when you break down the sideline.
Oh my God.
And you've got one guy to beat. And you're going like 20 miles an hour. There's not another Bills defender in the TV shot.
Yeah.
Like, you have it. You've got a whole end zone to work with. There's a whole other side of the field. Put a move on the guy and score. You cannot let yourself go out of bounds.
At least keep it in play and get below the five. When they landed at the six on that particular play, that was a death knell for the Jets. Because the Jets have no red zone receivers at all. Well, I mean,
you got to score there, man. And he was great yesterday. Yeah. I thought this is the Breece Hall that all the fantasy owners loved. And I was scared of him.
I don't know. How about that drop on the first drive?
He had a couple drops. Rodgers, for some reason, guys are having trouble when it's like short area. Like, there was a couple times I felt in the broadcast they kept saying, wow, that got up on him quickly and somebody would drop a ball. Or, like, they weren't expecting Rodgers to throw it. I don't know what was going on. It was too much. Maybe he has to take a little off.
But
I don't know.
At what point are you going to be confident the Bills are going to easily win this division? If the Jets lose to the Steelers on Sunday night.
They should have lost this game.
If the Jets
should have lost this game and the Arizona game, if we're being honest.
I mean, if they could get to 9 wins, it's over. I mean, how are the Jets going to have an above winning record? Their defense is toothless. They have the worst kicker in the league, arguably now. They have Mike Williams running out there making gigantic mistakes.
Well, it looks like he got concussed last night, so I don't know.
I really don't see the fix. I mean, I'm not sure where their coaching staff's a disaster. I think the Jets team, Jets might be looking at 6-11.
I'm not ready to write the obituary on them yet. There were a couple things. I think Todd Downing is better. The offense definitely did look better, in my opinion. And I think it still is a good defense. So I don't think that just all of a sudden like evaporates.
Big game against the Steelers. If they can win that game, then maybe. I mean, they just had a big home stretch, and I know they were in London, but if they can't win these games at home, are they going to be able to win these games on the road? I'm not so sure that the wheels aren't really, really loose there. I think they could fall off any moment.
Can we hear from Rodgers on the bad officiating? I wasn't sure how they were going to play this post-game, because how much you complain, like, you're going to get fined. Not that Rodgers cares. He's a gajillionaire, but here's Rodgers on the terrible officiating.
Yeah, it seemed a little ridiculous. Yeah, some of them seemed really bad, including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. Might as well play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things. And I thought the one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either.
Thank you. I mean, Roger says some crazy stuff, but that is the most sane thing he's said in weeks, months. Sarcastic ball is funny, for the South Park fans.
That guy's another problem for the Jets. Kinlaw. Oh, my God. What do you do with him?
Get him out of here.
Like, you got to get him on the bench.
Well, he was out of his head, but the Bills also had guys who were playing out of their head, totally undisciplined. All right, EJ, I'm curious if you side with me on this one or Perloff on this one in terms of what could you distill this game down to? Was it the penalties, or did it ultimately come down to Rodgers had the ball and could not either tie the game or score a touchdown?
I mean, at the end of the day, the Jets have lost 3 straight games, and in 2 of them, it ended with Rodgers interceptions, and 1 of them, it ended with Rodgers incomplete pass on 4th down. And these are the games that Jets fans were told were wins. We've seen Zach Wilson. We've seen Sam Darnold. We've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick. We've seen Geno Smith. I can go on and on and on.
Flacco for a little.
And Joe Flacco. And we've seen these close games where you're like, man, if we just had a Hall of Fame quarterback, we could drive down the field and win these games.
Yeah.
We're losing all of them. We lose all of them. Like, what is the point of getting Aaron Rodgers and put him in a position where, regardless of how bad that defense was, which was horrible last night, you still get the ball with 3 minutes left,
and the game ends the exact same way he does with Zach Wilson. Like, what are we doing? Like, and I'm not here to say that it was all Rodgers' fault. I think he played a pretty good game. Enough is enough. The guy's washed. He's not the same guy anymore.
Took a couple of hits last night.
He's taking massive hits. He can't get out the way. He's a statue.
Yeah.
And this was supposed to be money time. You get the ball with Aaron Rodgers. I know every Bills fan was like, oh, man, this is.
I thought it was over.
Every Bills fan thought it was over.
Yep.
And I think Jets fans were like, you know what? As bad as this is,
they're
maybe this
win.
Is where you come around yep. and Aaron Rodgers does something great. Especially after you saw the Hail Mary. He doesn't have
exciting.
It anymore. He's a middle-of-the-road quarterback now. And the Jets, I'm sorry, a middle-of-the-road quarterback is not winning you jack because your defense is overrated. Your defense is not top five. I don't even know if it's top 10. Teams run the ball on them whenever they want. These great corners that's supposed to be awesome give out big plays in the biggest spots of the game or get pass interference calls. They're just not that good a team.
Listen, to be fair, they lost a starting safety and a starting corner in the game.
And that's my problem, Maggie. How many tomato cans does this defense play?
Wow.
Like, you're talking about Clemens. He's the only guy on the team, the only guy in the stadium that doesn't think Josh Allen's keeping the ball on third down. I mean, and they know he's the dumbest guy on the team. That's why they didn't block him. Because he's too busy fighting Deion Dawkins.
Yeah, I know.
Like, so Clemens is terrible. Ashton Davis is terrible. You lose two or three guys. Clemens is only playing because Jermaine Johnson's out. Ashton Davis is only playing because Chuck Clark got hurt. And then Brandon Echols is only playing because DJ Reed gets hurt. And the Jets, who have this quote-unquote great defense, have zero depth. Guys come in the game, and they're just getting targeted immediately. This is just not that good a team, and I feel so stupid for believing in these guys.
But I don't understand, like, for both of you guys, like, if Aaron Rodgers had completed, say, a 30-yard pass, what difference would it make? There'd be a flag and minus 5 yards automatically anyway. There
well,
was not a single game that was.
Thanks, Pearl.
There's just right, no chance that they would have not caught a holding on a big play. So there was nothing they could have done.
I know, but I think that Rodgers, as EJ said, money, time, I mean, that's all you can ask for. Whether they would have called a penalty, maybe the refs try to save it at the end, like, and try to swallow the whistles to try to salvage.
They knew they were being embarrassed. They must have known that. They can't possibly be that clueless. There was like a 9 or 10 play in a row, flag.
Oh, I know.
They definitely would have called holding if there was any kind of big game.
But at least maybe you get into field goal range and you could tie the game and go to overtime. I mean,
field goal range, how is that going to happen?
I know.
What field goal, like what, the punter is going to come in and kick a field goal? What field goal range?
The guy wasn't going to miss three in a row.
Dude, Greg Zuerlein was not hitting a kick last night. There is no chance. He was at the goal line. There is no way that guy was going out there and hitting a field goal.
I don't think he was. It would be impossible that he would miss three kicks
in
a row.
I cannot imagine
a kicker missing three in a row, except for that one Dallas kicker who got the yips in the playoffs.
Honestly, there was no way. I don't think they would even have attempted a field goal last night. I mean, if they did, they would have lost. There's no way that guy was hitting a field goal. But it doesn't matter because there's no way they were getting any. Unless they got a DPI, it was either a DPI or holding. It was a
point. Which totally could have happened.
Yeah. It was either one or the other was going to happen. Either they were going to call the flag on the Bills or instead, Rodgers threw an interception and kind of. But by the way, again, like Mike Williams, oh my God. Every play he was involved, every target he was involved with was a disaster somehow.
Which
I don't know
funny because like this guy is. Great.
Oh,
like, what happened?
Who would have thought a guy coming off of ACL would not be the same player?
Well, I guess geez, Louise.
Only the Jets.
He basically didn't practice the entire training camp. Not that I'm making excuses.
Well, they only signed him for 1 year, $10 million, right? I mean, they obviously, they get what they pay for. He's not an expensive wide receiver.
No, but you thought that he was going to be. I mean, he comes in with the reputation of being hurt, but Mike Williams is solid.
Yeah,
I mean,
healthy Mike Williams.
He's supposed to be your number two receiver. Now we're relying on Alan Lazard. Who
by the way, that being said, can you guys apologize to Alan Lazard?
Yeah, wow.
He's still dropping the ball. He made a great catch last night.
And he had two really good ones.
Yeah, he had two really good ones. But he leads league in drops, so I'm not going to be quick to say.
Oh, my God, you're still mad at Alan Lazard? I mean, Alan Lazard's clearly, like, he's played great.
He leads the league in drops, Pearl.
He still leads
the league in drops.
The Hail Mary catch was amazing.
Great.
And then there was another catch, like, right in the middle of the field where literally there were four Bills defenders, and somehow he still caught the ball.
I mean, you got Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, that throw was
I mean,
great.
Honestly, I think I could play safety against Garrett Wilson and cause him to drop the ball. That guy weighs, like, 130 pounds. Of course he's not going to take those tough catches. Anyway, I think Lazard is your best receiver. I'm sorry.
By the way, did Garrett Wilson, there are times when he is just so good. So good.
Really? Oh, my God.
In the end zone, though. I thought maybe it was his head first, but it was like his midsection.
He had some plays out on the edge where, like, a guy like Tyreek Hill goes for 40, he would go for 6. Wow. I'm not super into Garrett Wilson right now.
He was great last night.
I'm scared of him. That's
really
me.
Like all those little short passes they were feeding him, like he did not break any of those.
That's not his game. He's not.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're trying it.
Yeah, but I mean, he's like an intermediate guy. He's not a burner.
I think Rodgers was awesome last night. Like Rodgers was getting rid of the ball and finding guys. They couldn't really hold on to it.
No, the offense definitely looked better. Todd Downing is a step up. Nathaniel Hackett is. I mean, why even have him in the stadium? You saw him up in the booth, the former Broncos head coach who got fired in his first season and now is the offensive coordinator. Basically, he's like all the way to the right. I'm like, is his headset even plugged in? Why even plug it in?
If the Jets could have put him in the blimp, they would have put him in the blimp. That's how far he was away from anything that was important happening last night.
I honestly don't even think he was directly into Rodgers' headset. I can't even imagine he was. But I think this is a good poll question and question for the audience, 855-212-4227, which is, what did this game come down to? Was it the penalties, or was it Rodgers had the ball in his hands with plenty of time, plenty of timeouts, and threw an interception? 855-212-4227. Excuse me.
By the way,
yes.
Why were they in 3rd and 16? Because it was a sack, or was it a penalty?
It was a pre-snap penalty.
So it was the penalties that put them in an impossible situation anyway.
The pre-snap penalties, I love it. People are like, oh, man, these adjustments in the second half. I'm like, that's not what's doing it. Nobody can get a first down because they're all 1st and 20. It's just insane. We also had baseball yesterday, so that was interesting. That was cool. I have a lot to get to from that. We have plenty of college football to still unpack for you after a crazy weekend. Just lots to do. An update on Aiden Hutchinson as well. The Lions pass rusher will tell you what's going on with his broken leg. 855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Yeah. Wow.
Barely.
Yeah, but I was wondering.
I don't know if they earned this one, but I'll
take it. At the end of the game, Josh Allen was whooping.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
hollering. I guess he doesn't like the Jets. I was like, what did you do, man? You weren't calling the flags. Like, this was an official win.
But the officials were terrible for both sides. They really were.
But
30 total flags on this in this game.
And how many offsettings, too?
So it was 22 accepted penalties, six penalties offsetting, and two declined.
Right. Josh Allen didn't do anything. The officials won that game. Both teams lost, and America lost. And by the way, I think the NFL is having a meeting today. I know they are.
Please.
And they're like, this is a problem. It reminds me, remember when Tom Brady complained about the holding calls? There was an emphasis on holding 1 year, and Tom Brady tweeted in the middle of a primetime game, what's with all the holding calls? And all of a sudden, the holding calls went away. But you could call holding on every play. They seem to want to do that this year.
Now it's illegal formation.
Well, also a lot of holding, a lot of run holding. There's an emphasis on run holding. There's obviously a gigantic emphasis on blocking downfield. Like, imagine you're a fan in Europe and there's a 40-yard touchdown and they call it back because some guard was 3 yards past the line of scrimmage. You'd be like, what
is
this?
Forget Europe. How about here?
It's just insane. I guarantee that's a lot. Because they have a really bad primetime game coming up on Thursday.
Broncos-Saints, right?
Broncos-Saints. Everybody's hurt on the Saints, and the Broncos are the worst offense in the league, so it's going to be really bad. The NFL, they don't like this. All the sponsors were probably at MetLife last night wondering, what the heck am I paying for? I think this is going to be a sea change for the NFL, and we're going to tone down the penalties.
Well, it'd be about freaking time. Because I get it, weeks 1 and 2, you want to have these points of emphasis or whatever. It's week 6. Stop with the illegal formation. And this is the thing about this officiating crew. If they're doing a playoff game, there's going to be a riot if they do something like this in a game like an elimination game. But also, it's like, follow me here. It almost feels like some crews, rather than just calling the game, they're seeking out the penalties, right? Like, as opposed to looking at the ones that really need to be called. It's like, I don't know,
but there's no crew like this one. This was the biggest penalty game.
I know.
I think there was
Hockley's son always calls a lot of penalties too.
Yeah, there was one play where I think it was Javon Kinlaw was arguing after a play, and the guy immediately threw a flag. I was like, dude,
can you imagine?
I think this was a sensitive crew, and they're going to be buried into deep AFC South and NFC South territory.
Thank God. Well, the NFC South, I think, is actually too good for this crew.
Did you try and watch that Falcons-Panthers game on Sunday?
It's the only close game. Kevin's in San Antonio has a thought for the Jets on this Tuesday morning. Hey, Kev.
Well, good morning, everybody. I just woke up and I heard about the Jets. They just got slam dunked. And the thing about the Jets, they more than life support. They're very disorganized.
Yeah.
You know, you got old Aaron Rodgers. He just needs to hang it up.
He was good last night.
Fire everybody from the front office and just that's it.
Kevin, they've already tried to fire somebody
on the winning level.
Didn't work. They fired the head coach and he's the defensive guy. And at halftime, they asked the new head coach, Kevin. Thank you. They asked the new head coach, so how'd you think the first half went? He's like, good, but our defense needs to play better. Like, what's missing here? They seem to always play well under Saleh. Anyway, there you go. Andrew Bogish is back with us after a couple days filling in for Bill Reiter. Welcome back.
Mom, Dad, good to see you again. Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. The Jets let New York City down yesterday. It's happened before, but maybe never like this. The Mets and Yankees won their playoff games. The Rangers, Islanders, and Devils won on ice. Even the Nets won a preseason game with the Wizards, but the Jets couldn't get their W on Monday Night Football.
43-yard try by Zerline. Snap is good. Swings his right leg through. This kick hits the upright. Bounces back to the field. Another miss. Off the left upright and ricochets into the end zone. Another missed field goal for New York.
That's Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Greg, the leg might need an amputation. Greg Zuerlein missing two potential tie-breaking field goals in the second half. Tyler Bass hit his from 22 yards out with 3:43 to play. Aaron Rodgers' fun pass picked off, securing a 23-20 win for the Bills. Rodgers did throw for 294 yards and two scores in his first game with new play caller Todd Downing, but it's another loss and a 2-4 record overall.
We need to get going. This was a golden opportunity. Some games you win in the NFL and some games you give away. This was a giveaway.
The Bills, meanwhile, have still never lost three in a row with Josh Allen under center. They snap a two-game skid with this one. He threw for just 215 with touchdowns to Dawson Knox and Mac Hollins. As for the good New York area teams, the Yankees pounced on 9 walks and 5 wild pitches, plus solo homers from Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton to take game 1 of the ALCS from the Guardians 5-2 in the Bronx after the Mets came back to life in L.A.
Here's the payoff pitch. Swing and a drive in the air, pretty well hit right center. Paez back at the track, near the wall. It is gone! A grand slam for Mark Vientos on a 3-2 pitch. He clears the bases, hitting it into the pavilion in right center field.
Oh, the Phillies know that grand slam pain. Howie Rose, Mets radio, was 6-0. The Mets top two at that point. They held on for a 7-3 series tying win, with Edwin Diaz getting the final 4 outs. The last 3 were strikeouts of Mookie Betts, Teoscar Hernandez, and Freddie Freeman. Game 3 of the NLCS tomorrow here in New York.
Wait, Bogish, but you forgot the best detail about that Mark Vientos grand slam.
Well, which part was that?
When they intentionally walked Francisco Lindor to load the bases, and he said he took it personally, like Michael Jordan in the Last Dance documentary.
As he should have.
He definitely should have. And you even see this like little clip of the Mets third baseman, and they walk Lindor, and he just goes, like, shrugs, like, all right, I guess we're doing this.
I also thought that ball had 0% chance of being a home run.
Really?
And then it just never stopped going.
the Dodgers reliever, I guess that was Knack. He thought it was gone immediately.
Yeah, I did not.
So I was like, oh, I saw that. I got excited.
But I think I made a move in the home run contest last night. Is anybody keeping track?
Yeah, Soto, right? But
you have Lindor and Soto, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so Stan hit another, so.
Yeah.
Your boy.
Who's got Stan? You got, oh my God, you have a dream team of sluggers.
Well, I lost Tatis, unfortunately, so it's me. It's Stanton and Shohei to the end.
Who's in last, me or Maggie? That's really all that matters, right?
Or maybe it's Nico.
It might be Nico.
Oh, let it be Nico. I forgot about Nico.
Throw him to the wolves.
He just wants someone worse than you.
Exactly.
Yeah, because Nico had like Gunnar Henderson. Like, yeah, he was.
No,
like,
I had Gunnar Henderson.
Oh, sorry.
That was me. I have Gunnar Henderson, Teoscar Hernandez, which is a little bit of a mind bleep because playing the team that I want to win as a fan, and Jose Ramirez.
Nico has Santander, who's down, because he tried to be smart by picking wild card teams, right?
Yes. Yeah, so Nico had Yordan Alvarez.
Bye.
Santander.
Bye.
And Kyle Schwarber.
So it's possible Nico's actually already lost.
Yeah, I think he's done. He's done. Schwarber may have one home run.
Schwarber had what? I think I have. How many? Lindor has 2. I got 4 total.
You
what
had
do you got?
Bryce Harper, Perloff, Lindor, and Soto.
Yeah, I got that was Soto's first.
Yeah,
right.
So you're on 4. I think I'm on 2, courtesy 4. Of Mookie Betts.
And what, you're like at 8, EJ.
I think I'm on 7
so
or 6.
EJ had Tatis.
He had 3 or 4?
3.
3.
Giancarlo Stanton and Shohei.
2. So 6.
Yeah, 6.
Jeez. That's well done.
Fine. I just don't want to lose.
I don't know. I would not count. I would not count
coming,
me out.
Yeah, he's coming. He's coming. But,
Lindor, it looks like he's kind of feeling it. I can't believe Pete Alonso is just sitting out there, too. That cracks me up. All these Mets fans in this building, and nobody took Alonso.
Well, I mean, he hadn't hit a home run in felt like forever.
Yeah, but.
Or anything, for that matter.
New season. Postseason. You guys screwed that one up. I wish I'd take him.
Yeah, well, now we
got her Henderson, Meg.
Big time mistake. The Orioles had their offense basically was in a freezer for 2 months.
CBS Sports says the SEC and Big Ten having preliminary talks about a college football scheduling agreement. They would play roughly a dozen challenge games each year to create even more attention and profits for the sport's biggest conferences. Utah QB Cam Rising is hurt again. This time it is a season-ending leg injury suffered last weekend after missing 3 games with a hand injury. Isaac Wilson, Zach's little brother, is Utah's new starter. Paul George hurt again.
Wait, can we just stop on Cam Rising for 1 second? Greatest thing ever. Is this the coolest story? He's coming back for 8.
Did you hear Kyle Willingham, though? He's like, I guess we'd have consider it. Like, he's like, I don't know if I want to do this again.
The irony is Whittingham's probably going to retire before Cam Rising's out of college. He already picked
who's
his
older?
Successor.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you're Cam Rising and you can come back, you're going to make more in college than you are in the pros.
He's a career college football player.
He could probably be like a deep backup in the NFL.
He's got this crazy injury history, though. That's going to make it hard.
Yeah, but I mean, talent-wise, he's the backup. Yeah. Maybe he gets healthy. I think he's going back, and I think it's going to be more Cam Rising until the end of time. It's going to be great. There's going to be NFL players retiring who came into Texas with Cam Rising.
I know. He's 25.
Yeah.
He's 26 next year.
I think Shane Buechele was in the same recruiting class as him, and I think he's already done his NFL career.
Gosh.
There was somebody, too, the other day that was like, the note was he was high school teammates with this wide receiver, and the quarterback is still in college, and the receiver's on a second NFL contract. And I can't remember the names now.
Yeah, I heard this too.
Oh, it's very funny.
It's not Ayuk, but something.
No, and it's not super prime guys, but it's just the fact that one guy's still in college, the other guy is now an NFL veteran, and they were the same age in high school. It just doesn't make any sense.
Oh my God, you guys need to, in the break, look at Cam Rising's 24/7 sports recruiting profile.
Is it written in pen, like
in stone? First of all, it's in hieroglyphics, number one. But number
two, on a CD-ROM.
I mean, he looks like a totally different person.
I know
you'll say, okay, like high school kid to college. No, like, I mean, he looks like he's 12 in this picture. He looks nothing like how he looks right now.
Well, it's he's one of those guys, a little like Jaime Jaquez, who look like an explorer. You know, it's like something about the soul patch and the long hair. It's like, are you Amerigo Vespucci? You might be.
Which lands did you conquer?
I don't know.
He's way better looking with the short hair, right? Like,
yeah.
He used to be like a stud. Like, he was a big deal when he went there.
He's got like a Lakers fitted on. I'm like, who is this guy?
He's still there.
Oh, no, this is in Texas. I think he spent 2 years in Texas and floated around a little bit. Now there's a report he might go to another school next year. I respect this because I wish I had spent more years in college. Like, why do we all? I would tell my kids, don't rush to graduate. Yeah. There's nothing good out there for you.
In the state of California,
you realize you're paying for that, right? Like, take your time.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah.
You sure you want to add on a couple? But 50 you pay grand
per. I hope you pay per class. I don't know.
Cam Rising was in the class of 2028 in California. You want to guess who the best wide receiver was in his class?
Jerry Rice. 2018 or
2018? Yeah, 2018. He's a star in the NFL.
Even
right
Jerry
now.
Rice Jr.
Best wide receiver in the state. So 2018 probably came in the pros in 21. Ooh. Best wide receiver in the NFL?
He's one of the best. Legit, like maybe top five. And he's been around now for a little while. It's not like he's a rookie.
Well, Justin Jefferson's
AJ
not from.
Brown?
No, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Was the number one receiver in the state of California in the same class as Cam Rising, who is going to play college football again next year.
Ooh.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's had documentaries, he's lost a podcast.
He's an old man.
Yeah, I mean, what has Amon-Ra done at all since he left
He lost the podcast?
I know. He launched the podcast.
Oh, launched. I was like, did he get canceled? No.
Oh, no, he launched the podcast.
No, I mean,
he's done it all.
Back of the envelope, Amon-Ra St. Brown, top five? I don't know. I'm a big Amon-Ra guy. That's rich.
All right, anyway. Top 10?
Top 10, I'll give you.
He's hovering.
Wow. Let me mention again that Paul George is hurt again, hyperextending his left knee in the Sixers preseason game in Atlanta. He said postgame he doesn't think it is a big deal. And what did I see yesterday? Joel Embiid's never going to play back-to-backs again?
Yeah, he said that.
That's good. That's a good plan.
Good thing they just gave him all that money. Could they literally just give him a contract extension for another God knows how much?
Yeah.
Well, they had to do that, right? I mean, you say that, but what, are they going to let him go to free agency?
Sure. I don't know.
Joel Embiid? Can you imagine? I'm not a big Embiid guy, but this team without Joel Embiid, I mean, going on there?
What are they with Embiid?
The NBA, that's a great
playoff
point.
Team, at least?
The NBA, though, everyone makes the playoffs in the NBA. It's so funny about, you know, we talk about the NFL and quarterback contracts. Like, well, what are you going to do? You got to pay Tua. You got to pay Trevor Lawrence. The NBA is like that on steroids. You gotta pay, you know, Trae Young. Like, you gotta pay, who's the worst one? Bradley Beal, just so you can trade him two weeks later.
But I mean, Joel Embiid's gonna be 32-13. It's a little different than Trae Young.
No, I get it, but it's just the obligation to sign these guys to this insane contracts. And when the moment they put pen to paper, the contract immediately sucks.
Yeah, I don't think I wouldn't put Embiid in that category. He's not like Rudy Gobert.
He's not playing back to backs.
No. I mean, first of all, the thing about him, he'll be hurt by the playoffs. That's a guarantee. That's a fact.
Right. You're not going to get your money's worth.
You'll get 51 wins. That's something.
Cool.
I don't know. Look at the rest of that roster without him.
It's not that bad this year.
Oh, come on. What is
it? They're maybe the second best team in the East. I mean, like, I'm not saying it's a great team, but like, Now, these guys got to stay upright. Like Paul George, he could easily, I mean, he's already hurt.
He's already hurt.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes, anything else?
Last thing for me. Kansas is number one in the AP men's basketball preseason poll, receiving half of these 60 first place votes. Two-time defending champ UConn got 11 of them. Good for third place in that top 25. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. Lots to do, including we got one quarterback on a comeback. We'll tell you about that next. Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff still unpacking last night's Monday Night Football. I mean, it was a debacle on both sides. It really was. There were some really impressive moments, I thought, from both offenses. And actually, I thought the Bills' defense, they appointed themselves a lot better than I thought they were going to.
Yeah, I didn't feel debacle as much from the Bills and the Jets offense necessarily. There were some moments, exactly as you described.
No, debacle in terms of the pre-snap penalties, in terms of the sloppiness, in terms of the unfocus. But let's look at this, like, widen out for a second, because the Bills go to 4-2.
Right.
The Jets go to 2-4. So sitting in between them are the Miami Dolphins at 2-3, Pearl. And we got the news yesterday that Tua Tagovailoa is coming back. Now, I think we had thought this was going to happen. You have to, like, take yourself back in the moment when they're playing Buffalo and Tua again gets hit and goes into that fencer's pose where it looks so dangerous. Not that all concussions aren't dangerous, but when your body freezes up like that in that weird, it's just so scary.
Oh, it's terrifying, because it means something's wrong with your brainstem, literally.
Right.
That's what I read on social media. Like, there's something, it's more than a normal concussion. Your brainstem is altered.
Right. And so, you know, we know this is a brutal sport. We get at times it seems like human cockfighting. We get that. However, with what we know now, we don't have to lean into it this much. If a guy's got multiple known concussions, you know, maybe he should step back. But again, it's his decision and his decision. And I feel like we saw this because the Dolphins are completely inept without him. They need him to come back if they're going to have a prayer. And I think the Jets falling to 2-4, maybe the Dolphins, who are not a very good team, but especially without Tua, if they maybe see an opening here where a wild card is a possibility, or maybe they feel like they can go on a run or something like that.
Well, listen, with Tua, they were not great either, right? They got super lucky to beat a terrible Jacksonville in week one,
That's true.
Then they got blown away by the Bills.
Yep.
Even in the game that Tua got hurt.
Titans,
right.
And then beat the Patriots.
Right.
There.
But I'm telling you, with Tua, like, they definitely look like, because they had.
Oh, the Bills were killing them that night.
The one thing, the Dolphins had all these injuries on defense, and they're waiting for their guys to get back. And by the time some of the guys got back, Tua got hurt. Obviously, it's not worth coming back this year, but he's going to do it. I think I understand Tua's mentality. I think he's like, I might as well, this is my one chance in life to play football. Maybe technology will help me down the road. With concussions. Like,
right.
I think most of us, we talk a tough game, but we might go out there too.
Listen, he's getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of pressure to deliver on the promise of what you were in college and then being a top, you know, six pick or what have you. Now, can I change your mind at all by just giving you a glimpse of the Miami schedule?
Sure.
Okay. So Tua will come back after the Colts game. This will be the final game that he has to sit out, right? After next week.
Yeah.
So you're at the Colts, who, you know, is Anthony Richardson playing? Maybe you have a shot there. Then Cardinals at home. Buffalo, okay, that's going to be tough, but it's not going to be cold yet. It's November 3rd. No snow at that point.
Mm-hmm.
At the Rams, who are decimated.
Yep.
Raiders, who are maybe one of the worst teams in the league.
Right.
Patriots, let's see how Drake May does here, but now you're riding a rookie quarterback. Packers is going to be tough, but yeah.
At Green Bay for Miami on a Thursday night, that's on a short week.
It's tough, but again, you get the Browns. Like,
I mean, if you
there
can't,
are wins on this schedule if Tua can play well.
I totally agree. At Green Bay on a Thursday night in
that's not
the end
win.
Of November. That's not one.
That's not one of them.
Yeah, and then they got, yeah, I see what you're saying, but like, what's the goal here? Like, sneak into the wild card.
Yeah, make the playoffs.
And lose another wild card game?
Listen, it probably saves the staff. Because if they don't make the playoffs, they're probably all getting fired.
They just re-signed Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, but I mean, if they miss the playoffs, don't you think that they'd be in the Belichick mix?
I don't know, because of that new contract. I'm not sure that they would. And honestly, no, I'm not sure Belichick, there are a lot of teams who want him. That would be a bad choice for Belichick, because they don't really have much of a, you know, they don't have a quarterback. I don't really think they have much of a future.
Well, they have
there.
Tua.
Yeah, but Belichick's not going to do. He's not going to take that risk if he has a choice. If he has options in front of him, Tua is not a great long term thing. I think they're invested in that coach.
Okay, I thought it was kind of crazy. Mike McDaniels was on the hot seat supposedly coming into this season, but the season hasn't gone well, and the offense has not looked good. And I get it; they're down to their third string quarterback, but he's supposed to be the offensive guy, and they have not looked good.
Well, I mean, it's more than just this season. I mean, they've been really non-threatening for a long, long time. I think Chris Greer has been there. Their GM's been there a long time, and I like him. I think he does a nice job, but they haven't been a Super Bowl contender since Dan Marino. I mean, when is the last time you said, wow, I'm picking the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl? I just don't think it's a popular choice, and I don't think Belichick wants that. They've invested all this money in the defense, and just can't stay healthy. They're old. Jalen Ramsey is old. Tyreek Hill is definitely hitting the wall anytime now. He's 31, I think.
You don't think that Belichick would find that just a little bit enticing? Like, Tyreek Hill's not washed by any stretch. No matter who's on your defense, it will get better with Bill Belichick as your head coach. It just will. I mean, the Dolphins have been cycling through defensive coordinators. That if Bill comes there, I don't know if it matters who your Jimmies and Joes are. I think he'll be very good on defense. And if, you know, you're right, listen, Tua's tough, but you're going to go to Jacksonville and try to fix Trevor Lawrence?
You probably
have great either.
Dallas is on the table. You got Dak and CD. I'm not ideal. Philly could be on the table. You got Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith.
I disagree with you about Belichick and Philly.
You don't think that he would? What part? What do you mean?
I don't think that Howie Roseman, who's the general manager of the Eagles, who survived Chip Kelly, who Chip Kelly came in for the Eagles and took all the power.
I know what you mean.
Yep. I don't think that Howie Roseman wants to have a head coach who's going to be in his office telling him, get me this guy, get me this guy. There's a reason Nick Sirianni is here, okay? It's because the GM runs the show. And I don't think that, I think he and Belichick would butt heads. I don't think they can coexist.
There's a gigantic love affair with the Eagles.
Because they don't have to work together.
I don't know. They forced Patricia on him. Belichick, that was pure Belichick. Jeffrey Lurie's from Boston. I don't know. I think that there are a lot of ties. Remember, Jerry Jones brought in Bill Parcells when he got desperate. There's once in a while there's a desperate move. I think, listen, Belichick's 73. He's not going to team build. I think he'll let Howie do that. You're right. That generally won't work, but I don't know, man. After Sirianni, they're going to want to go the exact opposite.
I'm just wondering for the Dolphins if the season's back up. You know, if you're a little bit off life support, if Tua can come in, play well, and now you just had the Jets who kind of gifted you an alley. Like, the lane is here now because the Jets are at 2-4.
I don't see it that way at all. They can't keep anybody. I mean, how many plays in a row can Devon Achane go? He's amazing, but he gets hurt every single week. Everybody on the defense gets hurt every week. I just do not see them as a real threat. Maybe they sneak in. But you got the Chargers have this crazy easy schedule. You have all those AFC North teams. I don't know if there's going to be a place for them.
855-212-4227. Should Tua come back? It's going to be tough to watch. But if he can play well and if he can protect himself, maybe the season can get turned around. Coming up, we have an update for you on one injury that could change the course of a team season. That happens next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.